Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا ايها الذين امنوا قوا انفسكم واهليكم نارا وقال تعالى وانذر عشيرتك الاقربين وقال تعالى وامر اهلك بالصلاه واصطبر عليها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من بدا به عمله لم يسر به نسبه atau kama qala alaihi salatu wassalam. Respected brothers and sisters, I haven't prepared a khutbah, but I would like to speak. And what I want to say, there might be things that I might say during my khutbah that might offend some people, but it is not meant to offend. But it only acts or serves as a reminder for myself, firstly, and to all of us, because we have been commanded to remind one another, because reminder proves beneficial for the believers. I recited a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that whoever on the day of judgment, that person who is held back on account of his actions, then no amount of family lineage or contacts would be able to carry him forward, because his actions is what is holding him back. In other words, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us to perform good deeds. Yes, the passport and the ticket to Jannah is our iman, but Jannah is a plain piece of land. Jannah is an empty piece of land. Beautiful piece of land, but an empty piece of land. So we get our Jannah, and what we are going to receive in the Jannah through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is the trees that we planted, the houses that we built. We recite a tasbih, we say Subhanallah, a tree is planted for us in our Jannah. We build a house for the sake of Allah, Allah builds a house for us in Jannah. And every action, every good deed that a believer performs, Allah Azza wa Jal places something for him in the Jannah. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this hadith that do not feel that your father is a Maulana, that your grandfather who came from India used to wear Amama and he was very pious and had a long beard, and do not feel that you are associated with the brothers in Monroe Road, and because of that we have good contacts and we could move forward inshallah. No, do not feel our connections and our family ties and our family lineage, that I come from such and such family, that this is going to be beneficial to you when your actions are lacking, when your amals are not present, or when your amals are lending to negativity on your scale, instead of there being weighed on the good side of the scale, your amals is such a nature that it has to be placed on the left hand side, the pan on the left hand side, to take you down rather than carry you up. Your amals, it is very important that we try to correct our amals. Make sure that our amals are being performed khalis lillah, only for Allah. Make sure that our amals are being performed not for the brothers who are close to me, not so that my family could see that I am doing this, not because I was told to come to the masjid that I come so that the brothers will see that I am coming, that my amals that I am performing, that when I stand before Allah to worship Allah, that I could picture Allah in front of me, that I know that I am facing the direction of the Qibla and this action that I am doing is for Allah and Allah alone. This is what we have to hope for. This is how we have to correct our amal. And even though our amals might be a very little bit of amal, it might be a very little bit, it is sufficient inshallah. Once there is ikhlas and there is sincerity in that amal, then it is sufficient. Of course, that little bit of amal that we are doing has to have a little ingredient in it. You know, just like when you're cooking food, you put a little bit of salt and you have to put some bandani and all that. It needs a little ingredient together with that amal. The little ingredient that we have to add is istiqamat and continuity in what we are doing. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith, أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل. That the most beloved action to Allah Azawajal is that action which is done continuously. It is performed day in, day out, day in, day out. It is performed. A little bit of Quran that we can recite every day, 5 minutes that we take off in order to learn to read Quran, 5 minutes that we could sit and raise our hands to Allah and ask Allah to forgive us, 5 minutes that we could sit and recite a little tasbih of Allah, but we do it day in, day out. We do not miss it. We do not leave it out. It is a little bit of amal, but because of the continuity with which it is done, it has great merit in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is better. It is much better than trying to recite a whole juz or to finish a Quran in a week, or finish a Quran in a month and then you recite the Quran for the rest of the year and you don't touch it. Reading a little bit, it might be one half of the Quran that you might read throughout the year. It is more beneficial than trying to finish one Quran in a month and then put it on the Quran. Understand the difference? One Quran you finish in a month, we could say yes, there are a lot of blessings. But because of the continuity that a person would read a little bit and a little bit for the whole year, he might only finish half. But that is more rewarding. That is more beloved in the sight of Allah, because it has the ingredient of istiqamat and continuity with it. My dear brothers and sisters, little actions that we need to implement, very little, small actions that we need to implement in our lives, in order to make our lives fruitful and beneficial. Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with a little bit of amal from his servant, a little bit of good deeds from his servant, when the gifts from Allah is a little bit. So we might tell ourselves, well, you know, boy, things hard, have a little bit of money, just making out in life. You know, nowadays, Alhamdulillah, brothers are saying things in Trinidad are getting better. You know, a lot of money floating around the place. You know, so if we are in a situation where Allah is giving us a little bit of rizq and sustenance, then a little bit of amal is sufficient. A little bit of amal is sufficient. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah is pleased with a little bit of amal from that person whom Allah has given a little bit of sustenance. Little bit of amal, little bit of sustenance. And what do we deduce? What do we deduce from that? We deduce that if we are getting plenty sustenance, then we need to do plenty amals. in order to show our gratitude. We need to do plenty amals in order to show our gratitude. So we have to judge now. We have to judge the sustenance that we are getting Allah, from Allah, the benefits that we are reaping from the ni'mats of Allah, are they plenty or are they little bit? We have to judge. Everybody could judge their own self. Everybody could judge their own self. We have to make our own decision. Are these amals plenty? Are these amals a little bit? And then you act accordingly. You act accordingly. You go by a rich brother and you say, brother, look, we have the masjid in the area is dilapidated and we are building a new masjid in the area and it's costing us $250,000 to build. Very conservative figure. $250,000. Little masjid. That's how much we spend behind our homes. That's how much it costs us to build a home. Or maybe to buy a lot of land if you're living in Monroe Road. That's how much it's going to cost you. So brothers, we are making a contribution for the masjid. We are asking brothers to give. And you go by a rich brother and he take out $100 and he hand you. Alhamdulillah, he gave $100. But you weren't expecting $100 for him. You was expecting the brother to say that, okay, look, I might be able to give you $10,000 or $20,000. But can I give you all one time? I will give you it over a few months and I will give you it. You go by a brother who, you know, is just making out a little bit of salary he's working for and that kind of thing. Has a big family, plenty of children to see about. And he takes out $100 and he gives you and you are pleased. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because the amount that they are receiving from Allah is different. So you expect a different response from them. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal expects a different response from us. That here it is, I am giving you a little bit, so you give me back a little bit for biha. Alhamdulillah. I am giving you plenty, I expect plenty from you. I am giving you plenty, I expect in return plenty from you. So there are brothers who are supposed to be waking up 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock every morning in this Jamaat and praying their Tahajjud Salah 7 days a week. There are brothers in this Jamaat who are supposed to be praying the minimum amount that we expect is 5 times Salah. Nothing less than that. That is the minimum amount because that is what is compulsory. That is what is compulsory. So the minimum amount that we expect from everybody is 5 times Salah. And there are brothers who together with their 5 times Salah supposed to be praying their Ishraq in the morning 20 minutes after sunrise. And there are brothers who are supposed to be praying their 5 times Salah and their Ishraq Salah and they're supposed to be praying their Chash Salah at about mid-morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And there are brothers who are supposed to be praying their 5 times Salah, their Ishraq, their Chash, and they are supposed to be praying Awabin Salah after Maghrib Salah. And they are brothers who are supposed to be doing all of that and praying their Tahajjud Salah as well. Why? Because the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah and each one of us are different. What might be convenient for me and easy for me to do might be difficult for someone else to do. The minimum amount that is expected from us is to fast for 1 month for the year. That is the minimum amount. For the month of Ramadan, we have to fast. It is compulsory. That is the minimum amount. But because of the ni'mats and the favors of Allah, there are some of us who are supposed to be fasting 6 days in Shawwal after the month of Ramadan. And there are some of us who are supposed to be fasting every Monday. And there are some of us who the ni'mats of Allah even more, we're supposed to be fasting every Monday and Thursday. And there are some of us who the ni'mats of Allah even more, so we fast Ramadan and we fast 6 days in Shawwal and we fast Monday and we fast Thursday and we fast Ayyamul Bidh 3 days for the month. How much is the ni'mat of Allah? How much is the ni'mat of Allah? How much do you feel that Allah is going to expect from us? You could judge. You decide. You know your pocket. You know your pocket better than anybody else. Nobody has to judge that for you. Because when you stand on the day of judgment before Allah, it is you and your Lord who would be speaking. وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا تَرْجُمَانَ And there is no interpreter coming in between. Nobody coming to translate. Right, and you get mixed up with the translation and didn't really understand what you say. No, laisa bainahuma tarjuman. No translator in between. You and your Lord. One on one. So there are some of us, the minimum we're supposed to be paying is 2.5%. The minimum. Everybody. 2.5%. Those who qualify. But then there are those from amongst us who would be able to give a little sadaqah and a little charity over and beyond that. They could make a commitment and they say that, okay, look, I would give $100 every day, every month to the masjid. And some brothers might say, okay, I could give $100 when I come every week. And some brothers might say that, okay, look, together with that, I have a few neighbors or a few family relatives who are not that, they are not that well off. We already paid the zakat. We're not talking about the zakat. I have a few family members who are not well off, so I would give this brother $100 and I would give this sister here $200 as the case might be. And you look at those who are around you and see how you could benefit them. And you say that, okay, look, we have a few Islamic colleges in the country. I could send a little money every month. And you fix it from your salary. You fix it from your salary. You don't wait until you don't buy everything and spend everything and then you look to see if you have extras to give. You would never have extras, my dear brothers. I always explain this to people. Very simple. You're working for $3,000 a month, you would live on $3,000 a month. The day you get a raise in pay and you get some extra benefits and you get in $5,000 a month, that $5,000 is going to be enough. You would have none extra. And when you get a raise in pay again a couple of years afterwards and you're working for $7,000, that is just enough. Why? Because we adjust our lifestyle according to the income. We adjust our lifestyle according to the income. So we need to set a little something in place that this is what I could give every month. This is the amount that I'm working for. This is how much I could give. This is what I get periodically. Some people get paid monthly, some get weekly, some get people get dividends, and the farmers might get money every 3 months or 6 months. Whenever you get, this is what I could do. This is what I am going to do. So the minimum amount that we expect from people, the very least that we expect, is 5 times salah. We expect 2.5% from the zakat. We expect 1 month of fasting. And if you could perform the hajj, you perform the hajj. This is the least that we expect. And then Islam starts. The Islam now begins. It now started. When we are doing that, the Islam now started, my dear brothers and sisters. The Islam now starts. Nowadays, when we pray 2 salah for the day, and we keep a few days fast in Ramadan, and we look for the slightest excuse to miss some, and we feel we are such practicing Muslims. Oh, our iman is so big. My dear brothers and sisters, we do not wait for the month of Ramadan. We do not wait for the month of Ramadan to start putting in the first gear in our vehicle. Understand this well. The month of Ramadan is designed for us to reap from the mercies of Allah. The month of Ramadan is designed to do what? To reap from the mercies of Allah. So if the month of Ramadan is designed to reap, then when the planting has to take place? Not in Ramadan. The planting of those trees to reap from cannot take place in Ramadan. That planting of those trees in order to reap the fruits of Ramadan has to start months before. It has to start months before. So if we are looking to reap the fruits and the benefits of Allah in the month of Ramadan, which is coming up in a few months' time, we have to start implementing it now. You don't wait for the month of Ramadan to start putting things in place. You know what happens when the month of Ramadan comes in? The month of Ramadan comes in and you have to stand for 20 rakats tarawih. Hear how big that sounds? 20 rakats tarawih. The mere thought of it frightens us sometimes. 20 rakats tarawih we had to stand for. And if we get somebody who could say 8, well, that is the kind of scholars we're looking for. 8 rakats only, but right? If you pray 8, that is good. Right? So we're looking for a shortcut out of anything that we could get. So you have to stand for 20 rakats tarawih. When you stand for 20 rakats tarawih, Imam Abdul Salam opens the talim book. Well, half of the masjid is going to disappear. Half of the masjid going to disappear. You know why? Because we felt we did so much. We prayed 20 rakats tarawih. So much we did. Why? Because we want to start from the month of Ramadan to start putting things in place. My dear brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be praying more than 12 rakats optional every day. More than 12. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about 12. These 12 are emphasized. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about those 12. 2 before Fajr, 4 before Zuhar, 2 after Zuhar, two after Maghrib, two after Isha. He told us about that. These are the emphasized sunnah that we should be reading every day together with our fard. And when we can read a little more and put in a habit of prayer, extra two rakat. Or when you come into the masjid and you don't have time to pray your sunnah, at least you pray two rakats. Tahiyatul masjid, tahiyatul wudu, whatever it is. Pray at two rakats. Get into the habit of praying. So when the month of Ramadan comes, 20 rakats, nothing. It's okay. And I can sit for the talim. And everything finishes what time? As though we did this whole big night of ibadah. When it finishes? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. The action of one TV 6 has started as yet. The good movie that we so accustomed watching. Like normal. It has started yet. Right? But we feel that we have done so much. So much. Why? Because we did not implement the habit. We did not implement in our lives the habit of getting the enjoyment and the pleasure from praying two rakats of salah or sitting and listening to the words of Allah and His Rasul. We haven't developed a taste for that. We haven't developed a taste for it. So as soon as the talim book finished, as soon as the talim book is opened, we fall into one or three categories. Either we start to yawn, or we get up and we run out of the masjid, or we sit and we take in the talim. But it depends on which habit we have developed. What habit we have developed is what is going to take place. And that habit that we need to put into our lives is very, very important. Implement them. 2 minutes, 3 minutes of thing that we might do just before namaz, just after namaz. A little Fatima tasbih that we might read after the fard. Subhanallah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 34 times. Simple thing that we might put in. A small amal. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. A small amal that we could do. But as soon as the fard finish, we are so hurry and we are so busy that we have no time for that. We run outside and put on our shoes and we are gone. And when the azan is called out and you look around in the masjid, when the azan is called and you look around in the masjid, half line. The iqamat is called, you watch around, the imam stands up and he turns around and there is half line. There is half line of people. And when the imam gives salam and he turns around, Alhamdulillah, there are four lines of people. Alhamdulillah. For the Fajr Salah, I realize nowadays, the four lines are coming out. We're getting 3.5, 3¾. We need the brothers to start coming out. We need the brothers to start coming out. 3 lines, 3.5 lines is not sufficient for Monroe Road. That is not good for Monroe Road. Right? 3 lines, 3.5 lines for Fajr is not good for Monroe Road. 5, 6, 7 lines, we could deal with that. So we need to start making an effort. We need to implement. And when you do not implement the habit of coming out to the masjid to pray namaz, it is very difficult to come to the masjid. Very difficult. Why? Because you haven't got the habit of coming to the masjid to pray. You haven't instilled in yourself the habit of coming to the masjid to pray. So as a result of that, you are comfortable with staying home and praying or staying in your workplace and praying. You haven't understood that the reality of praying salah in jamaat has not dawned on you as yet. So you're quite comfortable with praying at home by yourself. Quite comfortable. And you tell yourself, Alhamdulillah, I'm praying salah. Alhamdulillah, you are praying salah. But praying salah is one, and praying salah the way the Rasul showed us to pray is another thing. It's another thing. And we are looking now to fertilize and plant and decorate and beautify a Jannah for ourselves, which is plain and empty. And we want to build a house. So we build a house in the Jannah, but we're looking for the little actions and the little deeds. We're looking for the little flowers hedge around. We're looking for the guttering. We're looking for the nice slip drain around the house to drain it out properly. We're looking for the little air-conditioned unit. You build a house and the house plain and empty and no windows and doors and everything. You say, that's not a house. You're looking to decorate it and a good couch and all the amenities. So the house in Jannah, we don't want an empty house in Jannah. We don't want an empty house in Jannah. We want a full house, beautified, decorated, come down fully loaded. Right? Fully loaded with a few maids and that kind of thing to take care of us. Everything we want. So we have to do the actions that is going to reap, that is going to make us acquire all of these luxuries that we want in Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters, it just takes a little from us. We have started little programs in our masjid, small programs, 5 minutes program. 5 minutes after the salah, sit and take in a little talim, a little darood, a little few ayats of Quran, little things that we have started, so that when the month of Ramadan comes in, inshallah, we would be reaping rewards at that time, and now not studying to plant trees at that time. We have a few programs that we would put in place from now until the month of Ramadan, and we want the brothers to take part in these programs, so when the month of Ramadan comes, we would already be in gear. When the month of Ramadan comes, we would be in overdrive. We don't want to be now pulling off in first gear and skidding and that kind of thing. No, when the month of Ramadan comes, we want to be able to put in the fifth gear. We want to be able to put in the overdrive, so we reap in fully in the month of Ramadan. And that blessing that we acquire must be able to take us throughout the year. Throughout the year. That is what we have to do. Little programs that we implement. A little 5 minutes talim after Fajr Salah. And after the talim, the manzil is going to be read. What is the manzil? The manzil are ayats of Quran that a person came to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, "O Prophet of Allah, my brother is ailing." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, and the hadith is carried in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, read these ayats of Quran. And we implement the reading of the ayats of Quran 5 minutes after Fajr. 5 minutes after Fajr. You come for Fajr namaz at 5:15, the fard starts. And everything together with the talim and the Quran, everything finishes at 25 to 20 minutes you spend in the masjid. And yet still we find it difficult to even stay for the talim or the... We find it difficult. Why? Because of 5 minutes. During the daytime, hours would pass. And they would go by. And we won't have the opportunity to hear those ayats of Quran or read them. Or hear the one hadith or the two hadiths that is going to be read in the morning. That would be able to give us some enlightenment throughout the day. And after the Zuhar Salah, inshallah, we recite few duas. The students would start reciting duas from Monday, inshallah. Duas that are supposed to be recited every day. As Sheikh Munaf told us in his lecture a few weeks ago, there are certain duas to be recited every day that have come in a hadith. The students would start reciting it after the Zuhar. Not after the Fard, after the Sunnah. 5 minutes. And after the Asr Salah every day, the 40 most authentic darood that has been recorded in the hadith, we recite them every day. 10 minutes after the Asr Salah. And on the day of Friday, 20 minutes before our program begins, at a time when duas are accepted, between the Asr and the Maghrib Salah, just before the Maghrib Salah, we recite some more duas. Masnoon duas. Duas that have been recorded in the hadith. We recite them. We have bayan on Friday nights. And listen well, my dear brothers and sisters. We have bayan every Friday night in Monroe Road Masjid. A national program that caters for not Monroe Road, not Kiaroni, but it caters for the whole country. Some of the best lecturers, some of the most learned people that we have in the country, they dedicate their time to come and lecture to us here on Friday night. And you look around in the crowd and you watch. And you are looking for the brothers from Monroe Road. And as Maulana Abdussalam had checked last week, he got 9 brothers from Monroe Road sitting in the crowd. How much? 9. Leaving out the scholars, because quite a number of the alims, the ulama, they come and they listen to the bayans. Right? They don't need it, but they come and they join in the company and in the majlis where the mercy of Allah is descending. Just to be there. 9 brothers. And we say, look, there are a few brothers here who are always in masjid. They're always in masjid. They're here whether they have bayan or they don't have bayan. So we minus them out. And we end up with 5 or 6 brothers from Monroe Road. 5 or 6 brothers from Monroe Road. The best alims that you could have in the country lecturing to you, reminding you about the laws of Allah and His Rasul, with dinner prepared after Isha Namaz for you to eat. And you cannot be here. And you cannot have your children present here in order to be in such a majlis, in such a gathering. What you want again, brothers? What you want again? You're waiting for a bus to come and pick you up at home and bring you? That's what you're waiting on? Somebody, you want some brothers to come and pick you up at home and bring you to the masjid? There are brothers who would sit here and alhamdulillah they could come. And then you wonder where are their children? Where are their children? Why are their children not here? And you ask yourselves, yes, it is good that you could be here. Yes, it is good that you could be here. What about our children? Are they benefiting? Or are we going to leave them outside? There are more people from Monroe Road around that toilet outside there than they are inside the masjid. Around the toilet outside there that they are in the masjid. For the whole bayan. For the whole bayan. My dear brothers, and we tell ourselves, we want Islamic law. Why they don't implement Islamic law? Why they don't implement the Sharia? That is what is going to solve all the crime problem that we are having in the country and all that kind of thing. My dear brothers, if Sharia and Islamic law is implemented in Trinidad, the very first people to oppose and reject that would be the Muslims. The very first people. Because we do not want to practice Islam. We want to show the world that we could wear a taj and we could wear a long jubba and we could put on our imam and we have a beard and we are Muslims. We want to be able to walk the street to show that I am a Muslim. Look here. And when you're looking around by the masjid and you're looking for the people who are standing in tahajjud salah and praying at night, you cannot find any. When you're looking for people who could do the optional fast, you cannot find any. And you're still looking for people. You're looking for Muslims. And we are a growing community and we have plenty of alims. My dear brothers and sisters, we have a minimum, and understand me well, we have a minimum of 25 alims and 25 alimas, 25 scholars male and 25 scholars female, a minimum that is associated with Monroe Road Masjid. How much? 50. 25 male, 25 female, a minimum. We have the list in the office. Minimum. And if we are living in such an environment where there are so much of scholars, so much of knowledge around us, the brothers out in Gush every week, khususi Gush being done, spending time, 1 hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, they're spending every day, they're reminding you, Qari Sultan going along from house to house to tell people about coming to masjid, tell them about the program, Saturday programs going on, Talim going on every day, Dars going on Monday nights, Thursday night program going on, Friday night program going on, food being prepared for you. What do you want again, my dear brothers? What do we want again? What do we want again from those to whom much is given, much is expected? Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a little bit of risk. He wants a little bit of amal from you. That would suffice. He gives you plenty sustenance. He wants plenty amal from you. You be the judge, my dear brothers and sisters. Am I receiving a little or am I receiving a lot? You be the judge. You be the judge for your own self. Don't look at this one and look at that one and what I am doing and what I am doing. No. I might be doing a good bit compared to what my neighbor is doing. But the good bit that I am doing is not sufficient. Might not be sufficient. A person could tell myself, well, look, you know, I just go masjid every day for Maghrib. I just pray Maghrib every day. And my neighbor don't even go masjid. And he might tell himself, well, I am doing plenty. I go in masjid every day for Maghrib. I pray in Maghrib every day. And my neighbor don't even pray Maghrib. So what do you say? You're doing plenty? My dear brothers, understand what is the minimum. And let us mix no matters about it. 5 times salah, minimum. 1 month fasting in the month of Ramadan, minimum. 2.5% for those who qualify, minimum. 1 hajj in your lifetime, minimum. Minimum, these are the things we are speaking about. And after that, we start to decorate the Jannah. After that, we start to decorate the Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters, it is time for us to wake up. The month of Ramadan is coming. Let us not wait for the month of Ramadan to start planting. Let us do the planting now. Let us do the planting now so when the month of Ramadan comes in, we are able to reap, start implementing, work out a schedule. I always advise people, work out a schedule, a timetable, of how you share your time. This works good for the brothers who have more than one wives. Very good. You work out a timetable that Monday I am here, Tuesday I am there, Wednesday I am, Thursday I am there, and this is how I share my time. That is your time with your wives. Similarly, time for your children, time for your Lord, time for yourself. Right? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua to Allah. On no 2 days his stomach would be filled. One day he might eat till he's filled, the next day he has nothing to eat. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat one complete meal for the day. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a few mid-morning snacks and mid-evening snacks, a little something before we go to sleep. Right? Prophet said himself, one meal for the day. Not that he didn't want, or not that he didn't have, but that is sufficient. And yet still, one third of the night, one half of the night, until his foot is swollen, which one of our feet here, not talking about the brothers who have diabetes and circulatory problem, which one of our feet here was swollen because we stand in Salah? Which one of us? Ho ho. Islam, my dear brothers. Understand what Islam is. Islam is a complete way of life. A complete way of life. Islam is not when we are in the masjid. Islam is not only when we get, we feel to practice, we practice. If we want to be Muslims, we have to be 100% Muslims. We can't perform all the amals and all the actions all the time. But little things we start doing, little things that we have to start doing and growing. My dear brothers and sisters, when we were young, we had a certain amount of knowledge. The level of knowledge that we have now is much more. We have improved. As far as the worldly knowledge is concerned. You're 10 years, you finish old, you finish a common entrance. You don't remain like that all the time. When you finish common entrance, you don't remain with that same amount of knowledge all the time into the rest of your life. No, you learn as you go along. There are those who would go to school and learn. There are those who would learn from experience. But you would learn. Some of the biggest businessmen we have never went to secondary school. But they learn. The amount of wealth that you have when you are 10 and 11 years old, as you grow 10, 20, 30, 40, the level of wealth that you have around you increase. Whether you see it or you don't see it, you didn't have a piece of land, you now have a piece of land, it's your name, you have a little house, you might have a little ride, you might have a bicycle. It keeps increasing all the time. It keeps increasing. The health that you had, increasing. Getting better, getting older, everything increasing. But the level of Islamic knowledge and the level of Islam you're practicing from the time you leave Maktab to now is what? The same. After you leave, because you had to leave Maktab a little early. Why? Because you had to write C exam, common entrance exam. So you didn't have time to even finish the Maktab. And then you had secondary school and everything else after that, work and everything. So the level of Islam that you are practicing when you are 10, 15 years old, when you are 40, 50 years old, you're still practicing that level of Islam. And everything else has increased. The amount of wealth that we have, the amount of property that we have, the amount of everything else that we have is increased. Is only our Islam remain the same? Well, there's no improvement in Islam. Are we going to remain like that throughout our lives? At one level? And say Allah is most merciful? And that is it. Allah is Muslim. Oh, Allah. God is great, man. Allah is forgiving. But you know what the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions? When they ask, who is the foolish person? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, companions ask him, who is a foolish person? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who follows his desires and his passion and he's doing what he wants, when he wants and that kind of thing. And then he's saying, Allah is merciful. Allah is merciful, man. Allah go forgive. Right? Allah will forgive, inshallah. Allah will forgive all of us, inshallah. Right? But let us hope and pray that that forgiveness doesn't come after we have to go in the hellfire and burn. Because all believers will enter Jannah. For surety, everyone is going to go into Jannah. Everyone is going to go into Jannah. All the believers. But some would have to stay in the hellfire. And some would have to stay a little longer. And some would have to stay a little longer. Right? All of us would go into Jannah. But the length of time that you have to stay there, right, depends on our actions. So let us try to start correcting our actions. Look at our human relation. What is my relation with my children? What is my relation with my wife? What is my relation with my parents, my brothers and sisters, those in the Jamaat around me? What is my relation with them? Are we the type of Muslims who people say, boy, I prefer to deal with a kuffari. I prefer to deal with the kuffari and the Muslims and them. Your own Muslim brothers have to say something like that. Why? Because our actions are not in conformity. The Muslims are lacking in their actions. That our own Muslim brothers prefer to deal with others than to deal with ourselves. Right? What is the level of our actions that we are doing? Is it remaining one? Are we trying to improve? Are we trying to increase? Or are we trying to remain right there? My dear brothers and sisters, I pray that Allah Azawajal guides us and bless us. May Allah Azawajal give us the tawfiq, the guidance, the hidayat. May He give us the tawfiq to perform our compulsory actions, first of all. And then give us the ability to start adding a little bit of optional deeds together with that. May he give us istiqamat and consistency with what we started and what we could do. May Azza wa Jal forgive our big sins, our small sins, and may he guide us and be from amongst those whom Allah would announce on the day of judgment that I am pleased with you. Peace be upon you and I am pleased with you. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.